soldiers learned some things. Number one, they learned that any moment could be their last. Number two, they learned that circumstances are likely to spiral out of their control completely. Number three, several soldiers have told me they learned that the people who are directing the action, deciding what it is they're to do next and where and how quick, are often just not all that bright as people go and may not know the conditions on the ground as well as they ought to, and you learn to live with that. And that the politicians who sent you off to fight and maybe die on a foreign field, their motives may not be as pure as you would like. Soldiers have learned all these things. And yet in the midst of the chaos and slaughter, they find the still, small voice of God. And they find in that moment that the desire to walk with God is the only answer to their fear. And long after the battle is over, they continue walking with God in numbers greater than the rest of us.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast that you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
Good morning. You ever get in a conversation and somebody says two things and they say them right in a row and they're apparently grouped together, but you didn't make the connection? Yeah. I talked to a guy once and what he said was, "Well, it's supposed to rain next week. I think I'll buy a motorcycle." And I thought, well, both fine things, but was there a connection there? And when he explained it, well, yeah, he wasn't going to be able to do all the things he had planned on doing in the yard and the garden and so forth, so he would have some spare time. He'd been wanting a motorcycle, so he's going to take the spare time and go and get his motorcycle finally. Okay, great. I got the connection now. In the scripture that Gary read for us this morning, Psalm 27, verses 3 and 4, David makes two very fine statements. The first one, in verse 3, he says, "In the middle of the battle, surrounded by the enemy, hopelessly outnumbered, seemingly the entire machine of war directed against me personally, I will not fear. I will be confident." And then in verse 4, he immediately proceeds to, "Only one thing I ask of this life, and that is that however long it may last, my days may be many or few, and the path may lead me here or there, but I ask only that I get to walk with God, to seek Him, to meditate upon Him, to come to know Him." Both excellent thoughts. And maybe you already begin intuitively to understand the connection, but there is one between these two things. Coming back to that a little more in a bit, let me proceed by saying, some people talk about things they ought to talk about because they don't know anything about the subject. Run into that time to time too. And I'll tell you right now, I did a little research this week looking for a good poem for Memorial Day and did not find one. I came to the conclusion that people who have not been to war ought not write poems about the experience. And I myself don't talk about the reality of war and what it's like because I have never been, not been in that situation at all, so I am ill-qualified to speak about it. But when David spoke of the soldiering life, he was extremely qualified. It began in his youth. You know, the first battle that David fought is something that you all have heard about a thousand times. He came to support his brothers, who were soldiers, in a battle against the Philistines, and discovered the Philistines had put forth this champion, this giant Goliath, and that no one would go forth to meet him in single combat because they were all terrified because he was so big and so strong, and his reputation for murdering people so profound. And David said, "I'll go." And he prevailed over the giant in his very first battle. And in that battle, the connection between these two thoughts is forged for the first time, because he says to Goliath, "You come against me with the sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Where others have fear, I have faith." And so he entered his first battle with confidence in God. Because he succeeded in that battle, he rapidly became a regular part of the army of Israel. And he succeeded so well in that, that the cheer began to be taken up by people that caused so much ill will between King Saul and David, when people sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." I don't know if David personally killed tens of thousands of people on the battlefield. Maybe that was a little bit of patriotic hyperbole. I don't know. But the point was taken. He was an excellent soldier. He rose quickly in the army, and his exploits became almost legendary. Saul, so very jealous of David. And David, interested in one of Saul's daughters. So Saul set a bride price that he thought would be impossible, that he thought, in fact, would get David killed. And he said, "You want to talk to me about marrying my daughter? Here's what you do. I want you to go out, and I want you to personally slay 100 Philistines, and I want you to bring me their foreskins." I saw that set several people giggling in the 8 o'clock service. It's okay, it's just what Saul said. He said, "I want you to go out there, and I want you to bring me back the foreskins of 100 Philistines. The idea was to get David killed, operating behind enemy lines on an impossible mission. But David succeeded in that one as well. And then he was cast into exile and became well acquainted with the methods of guerrilla military, with his small band of followers defending this here, fighting against that there, mostly just staying alive, but still a soldier. And when Saul finally passed, and God moved David to fulfill his original mandate and take the throne of Israel, well, there were other people who thought they ought to take the throne, and they had followers, and so David had to fight an unfortunate and sad civil war until he could subjugate his opponents and finally bring Israel to be a united kingdom. Later, he would fight a second civil war led by one of his sons, and achieved the saddest victory of his life, crying, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, would that I had died and you lived." And reigning as king, he became, in effect, the commander-in-chief of the armies of Israel. And he was the kind of commander-in-chief that went forth with the army, wielded a sword personally, got into the thick of the fighting, until, scripture records, came that day when the season arrived for kings to go forth to war, and David, due to his advancing age, stayed home. My point is that he became a soldier virtually as a child, and he remained a soldier until he became too old to carry on the pursuit, and he engaged in warfare in about every fashion imaginable, and he was what you would call a lowly private, and he became the commander-in-chief, and he fought civil wars, and he fought foreign wars, and he fought guerrilla wars. When David talks about war, in case you have lost the thread of what I was trying to establish, he knew what war was like. He knew it in its many forms. He knew it in its terrible ferocity. And yet he said, though I am surrounded and outnumbered and all seems hopeless, I do not fear. I have confidence. You know, there are many things that seem like natural combinations to me. You got macaroni and cheese. You got peanut butter and jelly. You got steak and potatoes. I'm like everybody else. When church is over, I'm going to eat lunch too, and I'm getting hungry. And so, do you think I could do one that probably doesn't occur to everybody else? French fries and mustard, right? That's in my family. That's a natural combination. Many things seem to me like natural combinations. Among them would be this: war and fear. And yet David said, speaking from his vast experience, at the worst of it, I will not fear. I'm going to take a moment here to give you a heads up in a little bit, because it is Memorial Day. I'll give everybody an opportunity, if they would like to remember a soldier who did not come home. Many of us probably know such a name. You can remember it in the privacy of your heart, or when I give the opportunity, if you'd like to remember that soldier out loud, and maybe some of you know more than one, and that's fine, because this is Memorial Day and we would like to just remember them. And we'll give an opportunity in a bit to share those names so you can think about that. David had no fear because he asked only one thing from life. And that was that he should be allowed to walk with God, seek God, know God. And in the middle of the wars, the clash and the slaughter, David walked with God. His walk was certainly imperfect, and he fell from time to time. But when he fell, his instinct was always to get back up and start seeking God again and do what was necessary to restore his relationship, his walk with God. Now, last year on Memorial Day, I shared the results of a couple of statistical studies that had been done, and I went back and checked on those this year. The effect still holds. The effect is that soldiers maintain an active faith in God in greater numbers than the general population. And even among soldiers, the effect goes up as soldiers have seen combat. Soldiers who have been in the midst of combat maintain an active faith in God in greater numbers than soldiers who were not in combat, even though those soldiers who were not in combat maintain an active faith in God more than the general population. But soldiers who saw fighting, even more so. Soldiers who received the Purple Heart, even more so. The truth is, the more they were involved in combat, the more they tend to retain an active faith in God. Last year we broke down some of the numbers on that, and I won't go back through all that. If you're interested in those kind of things, you can see me later, but I did check on that ongoing study, and the effect holds 50 years after the soldier has left the army. The effect holds. Soldiers learn some things. Number one, they learned that any moment could be their last. Number two, they learned that circumstances are likely to spiral out of their control completely. Number three, several soldiers have told me, they learned that the people who are directing the action, deciding what it is they're to do next and where and how quick, are often just not all that bright as people go, and may not know the conditions on the ground as well as they ought to, and you learn to live with that. And that the politicians who sent you off to fight and maybe die on a foreign field, their motives may not be as pure as you would like. Soldiers have learned all these things. And yet in the midst of the chaos and slaughter, they find the still small voice of God. And they find in that moment that the desire to walk with God is the only answer to their fear. And long after the battle is over, they continue walking with God in numbers greater than the rest of us. For all the evils of war, it appears that it strips a man down to the essentials and the essence of life. Is God. And those soldiers who fought and walked with God and did not come home, I am convinced, walk with Him still. For as God is the essence of the life we know, He is the essence of the life to come. And He has provided the way for us to know that we will pass from the one to the other. Now, at this moment, I will do as I said, and I will give you an opportunity, if anybody wants to name out loud the name of a soldier who did not come home. We should remember them. And again, you may carry those names in the privacy of your hearts, and that's all right. But if you want to mention one out loud today, it would be appropriate. I will begin. Paul Hart, my uncle on my mother's side, who did not come home from the Vietnamese conflict. If there are others, I didn't hear it, Jack. Here. You couldn't hear me, Jack? The names of soldiers who did not come home. Yeah. Okay. And the opportunity will be closed in 3. Yes. And again, 3, 2, and 1. Let us never forget them. And that said, the rest of us need to learn what soldiers know. And here is the essence of it. The cure to fear is to walk with God. And this only let me ask of life, that whether my days be many or few, and wherever the path may lead, that I may be privileged to walk with God. If you would stand.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.